This week, we have a great guest, WCW legend, former WCW head matchmaker. Now he's the world-class pro wrestling head matchmaker. He's wrestled all over the world. None other than the Taskmaster, Kevin Sullivan, and of course, the co-host, Jerry the Boss Bostick. Great podcast tonight. Looking forward to it. And Jerry, you have a big announcement about December 11th for kids tickets. There's a deal for the big event coming up.
Yeah. Kids general admission tickets will be free. And how that's going to work is there's a limit, 2 kids tickets per adult. So you can go to Eventbrite, and if you purchase your general admission tickets, there's actually a free child's ticket on there, and you get 2 for every adult. So, yeah, it's just a way for us to reach out and help build the wrestling community around that area, and we're looking forward to it. You know, working with kids has always been one of my favorite parts of wrestling. So it's
Jerry,
always good to give back.
Can I ask a question? What's the cutoff age for the kids?
12 and under. 12 and
okay.
under.
Okay.
That's a valid cool. question.
Cool.
All so, right. Kevin, this is going to be your first show as matchmaker. I know you had a hand in the previous one a little bit, but you're actually going to be there not only as matchmaker, but you're co-managing the Blood Hunter with Andrew Anderson, or with Blaze, and you're also managing Andrew Anderson, the Purple Haze. So it's a big night for you, not only putting together some of the matches, but also in front of the camera.
And I'm not doing it alone. Welcome back to World Class Wrestling is the man himself who did it, Eric Embry. I'm looking forward. I've known Eric for a long time. I'm looking forward to seeing what he's got planned, because a lot of people don't understand how smart Eric is. I mean, he had World Class before when it took a dip, and he glued it back together, and he did a hell of a job. So it's my pleasure to be working with Eric too.
Yeah, I don't know that there's any better 1-2 team, you know, 1-2 punch on in a booking committee than you and Eric doing that. You know, it's I think it's already going to pay dividends starting next Saturday, and it's just going to continue to get better as we go along.
Hey, Jerry, I got a question for you. You are recognizing the Blood Hunter as the Texas heavyweight champion, right?
Yes, yes.
And I've done some research on this. And I like Hannibal later to give his 2 cents. I was looking at the people that held the Texas heavyweight belt. And it looks like a stepping stone back in the day for the world title. Lou Thesz, Buddy Rogers, Pat O'Connor, Dick Hutton, and Dusty Rhodes. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And the guys that didn't become world heavyweight champion owned numerous titles, going back to Bull Curry, Pepper Gomez, Dizzy Davis, Gorgeous George, Lou Thesz, who I forgot to mention. I mean, this belt, the Texas belt, was so important in the history of pro wrestling. And the only question I have for you about the Blood Hunter is, how are you, as the owner and president of the company, going to keep your eyes on the Blood Hunter? Because I've been around a long time. I've seen a lot of vicious guys, from the original Sheik to Abdullah the Butcher to Brody to Hanson. How are you going to keep this guy from running havoc through Texas? Do you have, are you sort of putting him on probation that he doesn't go completely off the deep end?
Well, that's your job to control him, right? That's your job to control him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and you're assuming that he's going to run rough shit through Texas. He hasn't gotten through Carlito yet. Carlito's pretty accomplished himself.
Carlito's very accomplished, and I'm looking forward to being in this match on the outside. But this guy is a different breed. I mean, first of all, what is he, 275, 6'3"? He is in probably, if not the best shape of anybody in pro wrestling, damn close. He obviously has an amateur background, a pro background, and I've seen him do some punches warming up that he has to have a boxing background and maybe a judo background. So this guy, Carlito, better be ready is all I'm saying. As great as Carlito is, and I'm taking nothing away from him, I work for his father. It's been a pleasure watching him grow in the wrestling business. But this Bloodhunter and his manager now, Blaze, is at next to other dimension. And I've seen her on tape, and she's as almost as vicious as Bloodhunter.
You're right. We saw them in Wichita as he took on Sandman and laid Sandman to rest. And, you know, I'm not putting him past Carlito at this point, but in the off chance that he does get past Carlito, we'll keep lining people up left and right because he is an intimidating opponent. But right. We've seen those before. You never know.
No, and I'm not putting Carlito, dispelling Carlito's ability at all. But I'm just a little leery. Even though I'm going to ringside with him, you never know. He could snap on me, Jerry. So I'm really trying to protect myself.
I think everywhere that he goes, there's carnage.
Yeah.
There's blood, obviously. There's brutality. There's viciousness. And, you know, I think it will take a very special person to ever take that championship off of him. I think it would have to be somebody that's on his level in all of those categories.
Right, right.
And then you add yourself to the fold. I feel like, in a sense, with the Bloodhunter, the Purple Haze, and Drew Anderson, I almost feel like we're seeing the rebirth of a Dungeon of Doom type faction in World Class. You know, it's like the original World Class had Devastation Incorporated. This World Class has Devastation Reborn, but I also feel like the Dungeon of Doom, in a sense, is brewing.
Yeah, I do too. And, you know, Andrew Anderson now is be resurrected as the Purple Haze. He also has a very strange character that comes to the ring with us. And his name that I found out what his name was just recently through the Purple Haze himself is the Master. So I'm wondering, this will be my first time to see him. So I'm really interested in seeing how him and Andrew click.
The Taskmaster, or Taskmaster, and the Master.
Kevin, I think that this Blaze actually reminds me of Miss Jacqueline a bit, who I know you know from WCW. She's jacked. And she can kick ass like him too. So having you and her with the Bloodhunter now, plus Andrew Anderson lurking around the building, that's going to be quite a group to contend with for anybody.
You know, you hit it on the head, Hannibal. I had the pleasure of having Jackie manage me, and you hit it on the head that she was a great athlete, but she had a mean streak. And it looks like the only time I've seen anybody in her caliber is this young lady, Blaze.
You know, interestingly enough, do you know who Jackie got her start with?
You.
Not me, but World Class through Eric Embry.
Wow. Wow.
I actually don't think it's far-fetched that at some point we might see Miss Jackie in world class.
I would love to see her in world class. She's a Texan through and through.
And maybe we might have to try to pull some strings and make it happen if Blaze ends up being an issue, because we might have to bring in Miss Jackie to straighten Blaze out.
Well, as much as I like Jackie, I don't know if Jackie can. If anybody could, let me rephrase that. If anybody could stand up to Blaze, it might be Jackie, but I'm still going with Blaze right now.
So there's this possible Dungeon of Doom brewing. How do you relate this to the old Dungeon of Doom? Like, that was a pretty impressive faction.
Well, I'll give you an example that jumps out at me. The Blood Hunter reminds me of Haku, and all the wrestling fans know. And the only guy that I've seen that comes close.
Looks like Kevin, you're freezing up a little bit.
His most dedicated wrestler I've seen in years. He was a big power lifter, and in 4 months he lost 60 pounds. He's got abs now. He realized that he had a, as time goes on, he had a kind of a put speed ahead of strength, because his strength is legendary. You know, he bench pressed where Lawrence Taylor spotted him for charity. He bench pressed 225 pounds 72 times at the Meadowlands.
You froze up a little bit a minute ago. Who are you talking about, the Warlord?
No, I'm talking about Andrew Anderson.
Oh.
Andrew Anderson bench pressed 2 1/4 with Lawrence Taylor spotting him at the Meadowlands. He did 2 1/4 72 times. I've never heard of that. And I've been around the weightlifting business too.
Yeah, Andrew's definitely an intimidating physical specimen, and he's probably in the best shape he's been in that I've seen.
Yeah, because before he was a power lifter, and now he's, like I said, he lost 60 pounds in four and a half months. So, I mean, you talk about a guy that is dedicated. I mean, he does that intermittent fasting. I mean, he lifts heavyweight still to this day. And he's sort of taken the Blood Hunter's routine. He's also doing this. The Blood Hunter runs, but Andrew keeps a pack of weights on his back and his big dog pulling them, and they go for like 5 mile jogs. So good for Andrew, because let me tell you something. This is Texas wrestling, right? And you better be in shape, especially for world class. World class was in a class by itself.
Absolutely.
And I think we have the makings, especially with Eric helping. I think we have, because Eric's done it before. I think with Eric and with your promoting ability and the talent you put together early, I think we have a chance to maybe surpass world-class wrestling. The original.
What have you learned from Eric, Kevin? Because I don't know if you've ever booked together before. I know you've known him for a long time, but what are some of the things that reasons why you think that you'll mesh well? And I got to commend Jerry for coming up with the idea of putting you two together.
What I find from Eric is we think almost exactly like 99% of the time. We're hiring the same guys, and I don't want to deflate anybody else's ego. But when we put this together, we knew we had to have kick-ass wrestlers for Texas and world class. So that's why we went out and Jerry recruited the Blood Hunter, Charlie Haas, Andrew Anderson, and a host of others. And I know I'm missing some people. But it will just get better and better in the, like, Mick Foley's going to be there because he wants to see revival of world-class wrestling. So if you have people like this interested in world-class wrestling, there's a lot of guys biting on the bit, like the Almighty Sheik and Fatu are banging on the door. Tokyo Monster, Go Haggis, is another one. And he had the Texas belt at one time. We have a host of guys that will be coming in, and the people will see their old favorites, and they'll make new favorites too. Don't you think, Jerry?
Absolutely. You know, you brought up Haku earlier. Let's say Carlito, Bloodhunter does get past Carlito. Let's say eventually we see the Bloodhunter versus Haku.
Oh.
That might be difficult for you. Whose corner would you be in?
Well,
I wouldn't even put it. I wouldn't put it past you to have them be in your faction and fight each other.
Well, I'll tell you what. That's a match I would pay to see, and you would too, and Eric would too, and probably 3/4 of the card that know anything about wrestling would pay to see that match. I mean, that's the immovable object against the irresistible force. It would be like Ali and Frazier.
Yeah, that would be one of the hardest hitting matches I think in the history of wrestling.
Yeah,
I really don't even know what venue could handle that.
And that's why I'd be glad to be on the outside watching that.
You know, you spoke about us making a run and possibly surpassing the old world class. I think with time it actually is possible, because I think I think SWE laid a solid foundation in Texas. You bring I think Tom did a lot of great things, and you bring part of that together with part of our concept. You mesh the two together. And that really is Texas wrestling. You know, I think that style of wrestling is largely forgotten now, for whatever reason. You know, it's everything evolves, but sometimes it's not for the best, and I'm not so sure the wrestling has.
Right. But one of the things that I like to mention is this venue we're at, Southern Junction in Irving, Texas, is a fabulous building. It was built for boxing and wrestling, and it's a great building. I've been there a couple of times. It's not a bad seat in the house. No. And I applaud you for letting the kids 12 and under in free. It's good to do that.
And it was the loudest building SWE had, I think. Southern Junction, the fans were wild.
Absolutely, Hannibal. Absolutely.
So what do you think, while we're talking about SWE, what do you think of the SWE championship match between Charlie Haas, the champion, versus MLW star Gino Medina, who is also a second generation star himself?
Who was his father? Do you know?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Was it Alex Medina, who was a great performer? I can find that. But Charlie Haas, I mean, he laid, and Hannibal tell you this, he laid SWE people to rest. I mean, he was an irresistible force. He's a great amateur wrestler, but he's a bit of a sadist, and he likes to hurt people, similar to Bloodhunter Andrew.
And Charlie actually got into better shape since a year ago, when I think you might have first brought him back from his hiatus. He's now developed his muscularity back that he had in WWE, and he really wants to prove himself that he is a real world champion, and he wants to win the fans over and take out anyone in his way.
Yeah.
Kevin, Gino's dad was El Sanguinario. He was a part of the Gringos Locos faction with Conan and Eddie Guerrero.
Wow.
So he has strong heritage in wrestling, you know.
And yeah, he got all the credentials, Jerry. That's for sure.
He's a star student of Booker T's. You know, that's who trained him. And so I don't think he's any pushover for Charlie Haas. I think Charlie, you know, his resume speaks for itself. And what? I think was he undefeated in SWE?
Oh, yes, he was. And I also think that this is going to be – all the matches are going to be great. But I'm not counting Medina out at all because he knows a lot of different styles. He knows the Mexican style. He's been to Europe. He knows the American style. So he may give Charlie a real run for his money and maybe cause an upset because of that Mexican style. I'm not so sure how much history, Jerry, that our boy has there with the Mexican style. Are you aware of that at all? Has Charlie been
not.
A lot? Okay.
I am not. I know, Gino Gino's the same way. He's mastered a lot of different styles. You know, he's been all over, he's been right. All over too, you know, through MLW and through other organizations. And I think that could be match of the night, one of them.
Yeah, and he's also, like you said, his father was part of the Gringos, and with that, he started in Mexico, so he learned that style for sure. So, and I don't think Charlie has ever faced a high flyer in his caliber. So it's going to be interesting.
What do you think about Moonshine Mantell versus Jacob Fatu? We've already seen this match a couple of months ago in Wichita, and it was probably match of the night. Those two, you know, they hit a – Moonshine hit a Canadian destroyer on Jacob Fatu. Jacob Fatu threw Moonshine up in the air and caught him and slammed him. I mean, there's so much power between those two.
Yeah, and Moonshine is fabulous. I mean, he actually carried SWE at the beginning, and he did a hell of a job. I'm really looking forward to this match with him and Fatu because two young lions that are going to be around for a while, and they're going to meet each other on numerous occasions around the world. So I'm really looking, as you said, they're both powerful guys. You know, Fatu's lineage is amazing.
I think so, too. What's your thoughts on Jenny Santana making her debut?
Well, anybody...
You have some firsthand experience with her, Kevin.
Yeah.
Because I saw what happened in that Scorpio match. It got a little physical with you and Jenny in PCW about a month ago.
Yeah, she tried to kick my legs off from under me. And here's the thing. That week at PCW, the week before, she competed in the National Judo Championship and won it. She's been the world champion in judo twice. So, I mean, this girl should have a really bright future because, to me, she reminds me of Ronda Rousey.
And her resume has a lot of similarities to Ronda Rousey.
Right, right.
Yeah, and she is the reigning national champion, too, so that's pretty right. Cool that you have a reigning national champion in grappling now entering your female division. And it's going to be historic that her very first match ever as not only a national and world champion, but the daughter of Tito Santana, WWE Hall of Famer, making her debut December 11th in Irving, Texas. So well worth what the cheapest ticket is, what, $10, Jerry, and kids are free. You can't get a better deal than that.
No, you can't.
No, and you know, we're laying the groundwork for something that's going to be truly special. And it starts next Saturday. You know,
Jerry,
it's going to be a clear-cut direction as to where we're going.
Jerry, I have another question. Where can they purchase tickets?
You can purchase tickets for Christmas Star Wars from Eventbrite, or you can go to worldclassprowrestling.com and purchase them there. Either one.
Okay.
You can also click on the Facebook event link, and it will take you to buy tickets as well. So okay. You have three different easy ways to get them.
You've got AEW star Fuego del Sol on the card too. So he's one of the most popular AEW wrestlers now.
I'll be interested to watch him firsthand rather than on TV. Great.
You know, he worked his ass off to get that contract. You know, during the pandemic, he was he went to AEW Dark almost every single opportunity he got. I think he wrestled 40 matches on AEW Dark. And it's, you know, it's amazing what he's done. But, you know, as we continue to up our game, he's going to have to up his game too. You know, with us, he's an intriguing candidate for the welterweight championship. Kevin, why don't you tell people about our welterweight championship that we have coming up?
Well, Hannibal and I are big boxing fans. And as we've gotten into a new generation, we've got some younger guys that aren't quite heavyweights yet. So we decided to have a welterweight division so we can have everything for everybody. They're going to be quicker than the heavyweights. They're going to be faster. They're going to do more high-flying moves. So I think it's a – you've you've put in a great idea that hasn't been done probably in 80 years. So, I mean – I don't think there's a company around that has a welterweight division.
I don't think so either. And I think, you know, it's important to highlight that part of the show too. So I think we're definitely headed in the right direction there. And I can't wait to see all the talent we bring in to contend for that championship. You know, not looking too far ahead, but in January, we have Mecha Wolf coming in. Mecha Wolf is a world superstar. You know, he's been all over. What's your thoughts on Mecha Wolf?
I was impressed with him. I saw him, I'm going to say, 8 years ago in Florida. And I've seen him in PCW a bunch of times. This kid is exciting. I mean, he's exciting. And we've talked about people that have been around the world. It's sort of like, you know, the Dynamite Kid was the guy that really put all the Japanese, Mexico, Europe, and the American styles all together. And this kid has done the same thing. So he's really exciting.
He's really tough, too. He's not like one of these skinny cruiserweights. He's thick, and he can still do the high-flying stuff. And I know that he's tough. This is a guy that's not going to back down from a fight if someone – is going to attack him on the street. He's a street guy as well from Puerto Rico.
Yeah. You know, I think he's been in the business years now, and I think he's putting out the best work he's ever done right now.
Yeah. I've seen him mature in front of my eyes. I think he's going to be a great asset.
We had Stacy, one of the people watching, wanted to know, what's our thoughts on the Ring of Honor talent? Are there any Ring of Honor talent you would like to see come to World Class?
Oh, there's a bunch of them. To me, the Briscoes are one of the greatest tag teams I've ever seen.
That's on the top of my list, the Briscoes.
Yeah, absolutely. And they have a host of other guys that we could take a look at, but I mean, I think there'll be, like, you've spared no expense to get a bunch of different people from a bunch of different places. And I think we'll see a parade of Ring of Honor top guys coming through World Class Wrestling.
You know, we're getting to the point where, you know, I feel like before World Class, we were very good at running shows in different areas, but now we're shifting our focus to basically building a territory.
Right.
And so I think those are two different things. And as our television shifts from spot shows to episodical television. I mean, there's so many exciting things in the future because there's a big difference between spot shows and episodical television.
Correct.
What's the news with the TV? Is there still talk that there might be a world-class television show? Obviously, Kevin was part of the whole SWE television show, and it now seems that a lot of the SWE talent and management are working with world-class. Is a TV show something you're looking at for the future?
Yeah, definitely. We're looking at getting TV in the territory, basically in all of the different territories and places that we're going to run on a regular basis. We're exploring those options. Our product right now, for those of you who don't know, you can download SEGITV, SEGITV. It's a free app. You can watch all of our back catalog on there. You can make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And, you know, our ultimate goal, we're also working with StreamNet TV, another streaming service. Our ultimate goal is to provide exclusive content for each thing. And so we're very excited about the future, and television is absolutely on our radar, and we're absolutely working on it right now.
Hannibal, could you do me a favor?
Yeah.
I saw where one of your fans asked me a question, but I can't read it.
Somebody wanted to know who's the stiffest wrestler you worked with and who's the best technician you've worked with.
I think the stiffest I worked with was Buzz Sawyer, and the best technical wrestler I ever was involved in was Tony Charles. Guy from England who was, you know, he was on the first wave of the English guys coming over.
Him and Les Thornton, I've seen wrestle, and they had some crazy matches.
Crazy matches. And I saw him and Billy Robinson wrestle each other. I saw Les and Billy wrestle each other. And that was the first wave of the English coming over. Les Thornton actually taught Dory Funk Jr. that English uppercut.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
There's another fan on here, Kevin, that wanted to know your memories of 1976 with
meeting Vince McMahon.
Do what?
I couldn't hear Hannibal then. Could you?
Oh. Yeah, I can hear him. The other fan, Henry, wanted to know, do you have any memories of the WWF in 1976 meeting Vince Sr. and working with a young Bruiser Brody?
Oh, yeah. Vince Sr. was one of the nicest guys I ever met and one of the smartest. You know, I think that Eddie Graham... A lot of people don't know this because, you know, some people don't know the history of wrestling, really, in the background. You know, Eddie was actually Vince's booker back then. And I had worked for Eddie, and I went up there, and one time I sat under Vince's learning tree, and he had a year booked out, and I don't know how he did it, you know. He was a very smart guy, and Bruiser Brody had come in, and Brody was terrific. He was a great athlete. You know, one of the saddest days in wrestling history was that deplorable act in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, for sure. Ivan wants to know, or wants you to explain the difference between wrestling in Florida and Texas.
You know, there was always a link between Florida and Texas because of the Funks in 80. And I used to come into World Class with Mark Lewin, the original Purple Haze, and wrestle Buzz and Matt Bourne. And they're both very similar. I think back in those days, there was a little more lax in the rules in Texas, where Florida had a little bit more technical wrestling. But they were pretty close the way they ran their businesses.
Absolutely. Chuck wants to know, whose idea was the Varsity Club and what's your best memories of the Varsity Club?
The best, the Dusty Rhodes put that together is brilliant.
And, it was brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, Dusty was, you know, as time goes on, people forget how smart Dusty was. But I actually ribbed myself into getting killed. When Steiner turned good guy, I was wrestling him in Boston Gardens. So, and you being a huge basketball fan, Jerry, you'll get a kick out of this. So the Pistons had just won their first or second NBA championship, right? Back in the 90s.
Oh, the Bad Boys.
Yeah, yeah. So Rick was going out first, and I told the ring announcer what to say. So Rick is coming down the aisle at Boston Gardens, and it was sold out. And the whole building starts to do that whoop, 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 like the dog, right? Gremlin?
Yeah, yeah.
And the announcer says, and making his way down the aisle from the home of the new NBA champions, the Detroit Pistons, the people turned on him because they're all Celtic fans, right? And started booing him. So I come down the aisle, and the people, and the announcer says, and from the home of the greatest franchise in the world, the Boston Celtics, Kevin Sullivan, they cheer me. I get in the ring, and Steiner's got smoke coming out of his ears. Marvin Hagler is sitting on the former middleweight champion of the world.
Absolutely. Marvelous Marvin.
Yeah, he's sitting right on the front row. Steiner jumps me, shoots me in, and gives me a clothesline, and I look like Linda Blair. My head's spinning out, and I go ass over tea kettle onto the floor, and I pull myself up, and I pull myself right up in front of Marvin Hagler. And I said, hey, man, I need some help tonight. He said, you're on your own tonight, brother.
That's great. Yeah. So Capri 82 wants to know, when you were shaving Hulk Hogan's mustache, was he mad that you left the Hitler stash on him? That's what he wants to know.
Yeah, I'm sure he was. I did that intentionally.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin, I got to ask you your thoughts on Seth Rollins being taken down by the 5'4", 150 or so, or 180-pound guy. Wow. The other week on Raw. It was actually the most talked about thing that's happened on Raw in years.
Are those real statistics?
According to the Wrestling Observer, he was 5'4", 180, according to Meltzer.
I mean, but is it being talked about really one of the hottest topics they've had in years?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all
over. WWE made me take it off the channel. They complained to YouTube, and they had it removed from my channel. It was a fan footage. It wasn't even their footage I had put up.
Wow.
I got to tell you what Ric Flair, I just saw this on one of the channels, and he said, Seth never should have said, I was terrified and scared when the guy took him down. Now, I can understand that. But you don't put that out there, you know what I mean? But I'm sure he would like to take that one back. But, you know, it didn't help his standing, I don't think. And I don't know. When you're coming out of the ring, and it's a different time, different era, but when you're coming out of the ring, you better be watching out what's going on, because in Florida, if you lost a fight outside, you were fired. Bit watched the same way. It was a different time, different era, but I don't think he should have said, I was terrified, to TMZ.
Yeah, probably not the best image to give off of wrestling.
No.
Particularly since he had all the backup there within seconds after it happened. It's not like you have a gang of attackers coming after you and like you're helpless.
Yeah.
He had the whole security staff and referees there to save him, but whatever. It was funny. I was entertained by it. So thank you to that fan for doing that. It was the first time I've been genuinely entertained by WWE in a while.
I was really hoping that he would take you up on your challenge.
Yes, I did hear from him. Kevin, I made a challenge that I would pay him $1,000 if he would come and wrestle the Blood Hunter at December 11th, and I would pay for his plane ticket. And I made that, and I'm legitimate. And I made that, what, Jerry, a week ago?
Yeah.
And I haven't heard a peep because I wanted to show that the Blood Hunter is a real champion. He would literally mop the floor with this punk. But the guy would rather go after the former WWE champions because we all know a lot of the WWE champions are soft, like Seth Rollins proved.
Well, if I had my druthers, I definitely would rather go after Seth than the Blood Hunter.
I mean, me too. Honestly, yeah. Me too. Yeah. Naval Sailor wants to know, what do you think the best wrestling storyline of all time is? I mean, there's obviously so many, but just anything that comes to the top of your head, maybe a couple.
Hogan turning heel has to be number one.
And one of the worst days of my life.
If I go back, way back, the Bruno Sammartino, Larry Zbysko. That was the perfect, I mean, they're in Kung Fu movies, they're in Western movies. The student and the teacher. It always happens. You know what I mean? And the way they laid that out and drew it out, it was really good, I thought. And that's what's wrong today. Everything's rushed.
And, you know, I think that's, I think it's a part of this of society now. You know, they want everything just like this. They don't want to wait for anything.
Kevin, I asked this to James a couple weeks ago. Jerry has bitten off a huge project running Dallas and Fort Worth every single month back to back starting in January and technically starting this month because he's also running Southern Junction in December. As one of the matchmakers, what is going to be the key to make that a success in the year 2022 when there isn't really many territories that do that anymore, twice a month in the same area? It's going to be interesting to see this play out.
Well, my belief about wrestling is it's a talent-driven business. Jerry has put together some great talent. And if you give them what they enjoy, not what they want, but what they enjoy, because they're going to get what they want eventually. And I think it's an idea that will really click because you give them, if you go to a spot show, they may not go back for 6 months, but you're going back every month and people start to, that's the day. They know the day. We're going to go back to wrestling. When they go home that night, that's all they're talking about. For a few days, that's all they're talking about. Then when you drop the promotional slowly, people go and say, oh, I got to go back. I got to go back. And you train them to come to the show, matches if you got the talent that Jerry has picked up. I mean, we've talked about it already. I mean, some very good talent, and we're going to have guys coming in and out that you see occasionally, or you haven't seen them before, like you're talking about the Briscoes, and then there's Enzo out there, and Big Cass, and you know,
Jacob Fatu and Joseph Samael, perhaps, is
yeah,
a team.
Yeah, I think that'd be a great team to bring in. I think that would be a great team against the Briscoes.
Ooh, yes, that would be fantastic. We got the Bandit here that wants to know, what are your thoughts on AEW?
Well, I think, you know, everything changes and you have to evolve with it. I think, you know, like they originally had, you know, they were keeping score of wins and losses, which is kind of hard to do. But they have their niche audience, and they're doing, I think they're doing a hell of a job coming off the ground. And, you know, Tony Khan's a young man that seems to me that he's a student of the game, and he's been very smart the way he's done this. And he's given the alternative. He's not trying to be like us. He's not trying to be WWE light. He's making AEW an alternative product, and I think they're doing a hell of a job. But they got some great minds in there. And Hannibal. Besides the Bloodhunter, does anybody look better than Billy Gunn in the business today?
Oh, I think Billy Gunn has possibly the best physique in the business, actually.
He looks better too than he's ever looked.
Yeah.
Incredible.
I don't know how old he is, but he's in his 50s for sure, possibly 59. Late 50s.
He's 59.
He's 59?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just saw, I think it was a picture of him from WrestleCade, and he was just massively ripped.
I saw highlights, you know, on YouTube of him when they had the tag match against Sting, and he stood up one time in a move. He was huge. And he's a huge guy anyway.
Yeah. He's like 6'5", 6'5", about when I met him. Speaking of Sting, Sting's coming to World Class in Wichita, February the 27th at the Cotillion. Are you going to be there for that one too, Kevin? I know the Bloodhunter is supposed to be wrestling on that card.
Yeah, I'm going to be there too. I can't wait for Sting to be there. Who knows?
When's the last time you were around Sting?
Oh, 2000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so who knows what will happen with Sting in the building and the Bloodhunter and Andrew Anderson and Charlie Haas. There's a bunch of guys that may be gutted for him.
I mean, maybe the Dungeon of Doom did have issues with Sting before, did they not?
Yeah, we sure did. Yeah, we sure did.
And it's almost like Sting is enjoying a career renaissance in AEW. You know, that tag match you're talking about was very, very good. You know, it's amazing to see him working like he is at his age.
Yeah, he's doing a hell of a job.
We got Tactical Apex wants to know, do you still have the golden spike?
I sure do. It's in my on my wall of fame.
The wall of fame. I bet that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's only got the golden spike. It's the wall of fame and shame at the same time. So,
now, what about Goldberg? You mentioned Sting and Billy Gunn looking great for their age. Goldberg's making something like $3 or $4 million a year still, just appearing in WWE, looking the same as he ever did.
You know, I have a real soft spot for Bill because I was watching YouTube the other day, and it showed his first match with Hugh Morris, and I picked Hugh Morris to wrestle Bill first. And Bill, he was an amazing phenomenon. He stepped out of wrestling for X amount of years, and then he came back, and he's still drawing money.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think his last match was that maybe the Saudi Arabia match, if I'm not mistaken, and he looked phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever imagined when you created Goldberg that in 2022 he'd still be over one of the top? He's got to be still one of the top five stars. And they ask why the fans want to say, why do they keep bringing him back? He draws a rating.
Yeah. And it's like, going back in 1989, Jim Herd wanted to change Ric Flair and get rid of him. He's Dracula. Herd didn't understand that. You didn't drive the stake through his heart deep enough. Ric is still drawing money. I mean, he draws numbers. And now his daughter. I think him and the Irish girl, the man, had maybe the best match on that pay-per-view.
I actually watched the Survivor Series. It was the first pay-per-view I'd seen in like 20 years.
Right.
And that was only because Blaze invited me to watch it with her.
Yeah.
But that was by far the best match of the pay-per-view. I have to admit it too.
Yeah. I mean,
I think Charlotte is probably going to go down as the greatest women's wrestler of all time. If not, I mean, she's going to be on the Mount Rushmore of it for sure.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
And have you seen Rick is politicking to get one more match? Have you seen that?
Yes, I have. Somebody in Israel offered him $100,000 to wrestle Janela, I believe.
Sammy Guevara. That's
Sammy Guevara.
Sammy Guevara. Yeah,
Rick could probably still do it.
That's very interesting. We have a RVD 16999 who wants to know, is it a possibility of the Blood Hunter ever wrestling in a casket match? I could see it.
Sure, I could too. Great, great question. Yeah, I could see that big time. I could see him putting guys in caskets. For sure, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if not them, their career's in the casket for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
We have the Bandit wants to know, what's your thoughts on the cinematic matches that have taken place?
Well, I hate them. I hate them. If you want to do that, let's do it in a movie theater. I mean, you know, I just hate them because it's not pro wrestling. It's definitely sports entertainment. And 100%. That's the different world class. Because it's still pro wrestling.
Chuck wants to know, who's the better Russian heel, Nikita Koloff or Nikolai Volkov?
For longevity, it's Nikita. Not Nikita. For a short term, nobody was hot as Nikita. But the other one, he lasted for a long time.
Yeah, Nikolai was involved in a long, long time.
Yeah.
Would you ever have guessed that Nikolai would die before the Iron Sheik?
Never thought that.
The Iron Sheik's immortal.
Yes, he is. He's like Keith Richards, right?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Do you have any stories about the Iron Sheik? I don't know how much you were around him, but the fans always love to hear about him.
I knew him when he was 180 pounds and he was Kozlov Vasari. Came to Florida when I was there, and then he was in Calgary when I did a short stint in Calgary. I mean, this guy, his amateur background, in the strength with those clubs. I mean, I tried those clubs and almost knocked myself out. I mean, he was a bull of the woods as he got bigger. And he could still move. You know, he was Fernando Marcos's bodyguard. Are you aware of that? The president of the Philippines?
No.
And he used to sleep at the floor of his bed, and an assassin broke in and stabbed the Sheik. You could see it in his head. He stabbed him four to six times with an ice pick and put holes in the Sheik's head till the Sheik choked him out.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have never heard that. That's wild.
Yeah, yeah.
Robert wants to know, he said, can we get a Dusty Rhodes story? And, I mean, for those that's watching that don't know, what about your relationship with Dusty? You were really close with him, correct?
Yeah, and it was one of those things. Sometimes, you know, you're lucky enough to have an opponent that gets the best out of you, and Dusty was just terrific. I'll tell you a funny story. I was wrestling Dusty in a Lose Leaf Town match in the Bayfront Center in a cage. It was Christmas Day. And they had Santa Clauses walking around handing candy out, 5 or 6 of them. Well, when I was in trouble and I stopped Dusty, we're both laying there. I was by the cage. A Santa came to me and gave me a foreign object, and I used it on Dusty and beat him. 1, 2, 3. Well, the Santa was Jake the Snake. And Jake and I are making our way through the crowds, and they're really hot. And we were in St. Petersburg, and they had a balcony about 20 feet above us. But you had to duck in the doors underneath the balcony. And as Jake and I were going, somebody stood up and yelled, "F Santa," and jumped out of the balcony on us. Jake and I just took a step to the left and a step to the right. He fell on his feet, and his feet were straight, not bent. He broke both of his legs. Dusty was an amazing, amazing performer and a very smart guy.
What about, like, booking-wise? Like, you two worked together on that, right?
Well, I would come up with ideas and give them to Dust, and some of them he would take and use them completely. The one where I think it was the hottest angle I ever did, I was out of the territory. I was suspended for life. It was half-assed legit. And then I was gone for 3 months, and they had a Dusty Rhodes, "This Is Your Life," and he was signing a contract with a plume pen and ink. And he had Willie Nelson wrote in telegrams, George Steinbrenner, Joe Namath, a host of real athletes, you know, big name athletes, and musicians too. Boxcar Willie and Waylon Jennings and all the people Dusty were friends with. Well, at the end of This Is Your Life, his sister was behind a screen and said, "Hey, Bubba," and he said, "That's my sister." And they're hugging each other, and all the good guys come out, and they're around Dusty and huddling them, and in comes Jack Ruby. Me, and I picked up the ink bottle and threw it at Dusty. He ducked, and I blinded his sister. Now, he's supposed to wrestle Flair that weekend. He went on strike, and he said he wouldn't wrestle me. He wouldn't wrestle in Florida until the suspension was lifted. He didn't wrestle for 3 weeks. And then the promoters got together, and they had Jim Crockett, Bob Geigel, Jim Barnett, Bill Watts. It was tied 2-2. And then Eddie Graham, of course, the babyface promoter, voted for let me back in. And we were off and running again. But Dusty was a smart, smart guy.
You know, Eric has foreseen this coming for years. And, you know, in a lot of ways, it seems like with the rise of the independents that it's very possible. What do you think of wrestling, the possibility of wrestling returning to the territories?
I think, you know, Eric and I think a lot alike, and I think that's what's going to have to go to. Because, you know, I saw with WWE is saying they don't want anybody with any wrestling experience. They just want athletes, correct? Well, if you're not a wrestling fan, I'm a wrestling fan today. You're a wrestling fan. Hannibal's still a wrestling fan. If you don't have that in you, that you love the business, you're not going to have it. And I think, you know, you're starting out 2 a month. Then you're going to have 3 a month. Then it's going to be twice a month you'll have 3 a month. Then eventually it's going to come back to territories, or it can't survive. With the ratings of WWE nosediving like they have. And I hear what Hannibal says. I hear what people say. And you said it earlier, Jerry, about, you know, they want instant gratification. It's hard to get instant gratification with 3 hours of that show when they're doing shit that doesn't make any sense at all.
And what do you think that for NXT now, they're not even doing house shows. So these wrestlers are having their first match on the NXT television show.
Yeah, well, I'll give you an example. Like, I'll ask young guys, how long you been in the business? And they'll say, oh, 5 years. And I'll say, how many matches have you had? They'll say 80. Well, my second year in the business, on a Friday, I was in Nashville at the time. On a Friday, I go to Knoxville, wrestle Knoxville Friday night. Saturday morning, I wrestle Knoxville TV. I drive to Chattanooga, wrestle on Chattanooga TV, then go to the Chattanooga building, wrestle in the second or third match in the Chattanooga house show. Then I get into a plane and they fly me to Birmingham and I wrestle on a live midnight show. I probably had 400 matches by that second year of the business. In that year, 400, at least 400.
Man, I can't even imagine.
It was crazy, but it like Hannibal said, these guys need a place to hone their craft, and the only way you get it, you can go to the gym all you want, but you got to be in front of people. Jerry, you know that. You've been around enough.
And one of the things that I think is missing that you learned in the territories too, and I've learned as a promoter, is you have to know how to draw. And when you're getting like a check from the time that you're training, you never really have figure out the importance of actually having to draw money because you've just been paid from the start. Whereas you in the territories, if you didn't draw, you weren't getting paid or your pay would be much lower. So yeah, you would come up with ideas and angles and do stuff in matches that would get the fans coming back rather than just go and show up like it's a job.
Right. And I'll give you an example, like you're saying, Hannibal. Jerry, we did our TVs. They played from Tampa on a Saturday and Sunday. They were in Orlando. The TV was in Orlando on Sunday. Well, we wrestled in Orlando Sunday night. We knew if the angle got over or if the guy's over, because the house either went up or down. If it went down, it didn't work. So we got it. We had to make it work because, like Hannibal said, our pay was what was in the building.
What do you think of wrestling now going back to that pay scale?
Well, I think it'd be hard at first, but if you had, like you're getting a sponsor, if you had a sponsor and you could get through the lean times with the guys, meaning establish yourself, after 4 months, you could go back to that if you ran enough. Yeah, for sure.
So in closing, what do you want to tell people about Christmas Star Wars? We're a little over a week out from it. What do you have to say to close it out?
Well, I think you're going to see an exciting show, the rebirth of world class. And you, the people that come to our show can say, a year, 2 years, or 3 years from now, I was there when they came from like the phoenix from the ashes. And you got a host of great guys and great talent. And it's going to be a fabulous, fabulous wrestling night.
Plus, you're going to be signing autographs, right? There's a meet and greet as well, right, where the wrestlers can meet the fans. And tickets are as cheap as $10. Up to 2 kids' tickets free with the price of an adult. You will not even get into a movie for that. That's worth coming out to. There's not going to be any loss. And there's Charlie Haas going to be there, Kevin Sullivan, Carlito, Jacob Fatu, Jenny Santana, these two ladies that I'm not very familiar with, but they look beautiful. Of course, the Blood Hunter is going to be there with Blaze and Kevin Sullivan, Fuego del Sol, and Mick Foley himself. $10 just to meet Mick Foley is pretty good.
Eric Embry will be there. The return of one of the original voices of World Class, Mark Lawrence. I'm extremely excited about that.
And Jerry, you're meeting with Craig Massey of Massey Construction, who just came back from Saudi Arabia, closing a deal on the oil wells he has there. And he's now fixing his house up from the flood and the hurricane they had lately.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a monumental weekend. And I think you said it best. You know, it's the reemergence of World Class. And it's a show that you don't want to miss because you want to be there to say, I was at that show to where it all began again.
Yep.
And the last thing I'll mention is tomorrow we're going to stream it on the World Class channel too. But tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern, Kevin is going to be back on with me and his wife and Andrew Anderson, and this is going to be a special podcast talking about his wife's book, Old School, which is available on Amazon. And I'm looking forward to that too, but it's going to be nice for the fans to actually see your wife and talk about this book that she's put together about wrestling.
Yeah, we'll get into it tomorrow, that's for sure.
Great. So, guys, I'll let you guys have the last word, however you want to close this off. But fans, I encourage you, if you're in the Dallas area, Irving is pretty much Dallas. That's where the stadium is, where WrestleMania is going to be next year. That's where the airport is. Come on down. It's going to be an amazing night of action, and it's a great venue, Southern Junction. Well worth the trip out there, if nothing more, just to meet the stars. But on top of that, you have all these great matches lined up.
Yeah, it sounds great. I mean, this is going to be what we just said, the reemergence of world-class wrestling. And who knows, some kid in the audience may say that becomes a wrestler. I was there that night when world-class was revived, and that's what made me a wrestler. Let's hope so.
This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother.